are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. This is the year of new beginnings, a year of hope, restoration, replenishment, and being refreshed. This year, we have a wonderful lineup of guests for you to learn from, but make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes Him into their lives. Oh, what God can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. Don't you agree? So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus before, consider hanging out with us this sweet afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guests in order to discover the truth together. And if it is your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrendered to God's process. There is a misconception that time is the thing that heals all wounds. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, time doesn't heal anything. Time only tells. But it is only God who heals, only God who covers and loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you want to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest, read the thought-provoking articles, and all about the featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And if you're looking for a wonderful read for the new year, check out my newly released book titled The Women God Used, available on Amazon.com. And if you would allow me to linger just a little bit longer, I would love to read you an excerpt from it. Women are such fascinating creatures, and if you do not believe me, have a disagreement with one of them, and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating. But to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, supportive, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are as a species complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were also clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged a dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you were not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, drug addicts, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and due to time constraints, had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord, and through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues and problems and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional, but sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman, now hear me roar." Therefore, it's time to pay some respect to the women God used. The women God used is about women learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is so very excited to have the lovely overcomer, Dawn Mann, on our show today. So sit back and relax and enjoy while I unpack the extraordinary dovetail of this extraordinary woman. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Debora right after this.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
This is Catherine Buse, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Debora right here on PJC Media.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Welcome to Dovetails on this Sunday afternoon. We are so glad you decided to join us today to get your additional portion of inspiration, encouragement, and motivation. Today, we have a wonderful, heartwarming testimony from a woman who has endured many struggles and is surely acquainted with grief, but she's also acquainted with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Death, where is your sting? I would love to welcome to the show this wonderful, wonderful woman of God, Dawn Mann. Welcome to Dovetail, Dawn.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm so honored and privileged to be part of you.
Dawn, you're so welcome. Just as I continue to get to know you, just a wonderful woman of God. And you have a huge testimony. And we're going to try to tackle some of it today, or at least unpack some of it. Here on Dovetails, we love to start at the beginning. And, you know, I've noticed a lot of times that, you know, especially on social media, we sort of share what we want people to see. But I think the beauty of what God does when we are his witness, he allows us to share the whole picture. And what's so wonderful about that is that people can see the good and the bad. There was a movie that I saw called Vanilla Sky, and I often mention it on Dovetails. And the line in the movie that really grabbed my heart was, "The sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter." And I love that. I love that because we find it's both of those things that really, when we learn of those bitter moments and then the sweet victory comes, it just becomes that much sweeter. So with that being said, we're going to start at the beginning. And Dawn, my first question to you is, did you grow up in a home which recognized Jesus Christ?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And absolutely, I will tell you, I grew up in a home where everybody believed in God, you know, but it wasn't like a church-like atmosphere. You know, I didn't know God actually at all. I didn't have that relationship with God. I didn't know God's words. You know, we'd pray, you know, simple prayers, you know, before dinner or, you know, a simple prayer I would pray before going to bed. So, I mean, I didn't have a life without prayer, and I did believe in God, but I didn't know the word. It was not, and did not have that relationship with the Lord so that I knew which way to walk, which way to turn, which way to go.
I love that. I mean, I have to say, Dawn, I think a lot of people can relate to your upbringing. And I think sometimes the adversary can make us think that we're alone in some of those thoughts that, you know, perhaps somehow everybody grew up with God in their household and we're the only ones out, you know, sort of inconspicuously out there. But, you know, I have to say that, you know, I think a lot of times, and even I grew up in a family that, again, knew who the Lord was, but whether I understood it, I think that came with time. And, you know, I think there's a difference there. Like, you know, I love that, like you said, you believed in God, but it wasn't necessarily like a church atmosphere. It wasn't like, you know, maybe someone else that had parents as pastors, maybe yours was a bit different. But I don't think that, you know, that feeling of having God in your life and loving him, I think those things come with time. I wanted to say, in your testimony, you said that you believed in God, which is something you just similarly said, but he was not a part of your life. And I love this. You said, however, you remember a prayer, which you just now said that maybe prayers that you would say at bed, which was displayed on a lamp in your bedroom. And if I can repeat the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake," I know many of you out there have said this, "I pray the Lord my soul to take." And then you had added words, and you said, "God, please keep me and everybody safe and sound and healthy. Amen." Dawn, there are many today who like you, they believe in God, and yet he's not a part of their lives. Looking back now, why do you think that that is, now that you're older?
Why do I think he was not part of my life?
Well, basically, you know, when you're younger, you're like, you know what, I believe in God, but he's not really a part of my life. But now that you've really been able to live some more life, looking back, what are the thoughts of, wow, why do people do that? Why do we say we believe in the Lord and yet we don't really make him a part of our lives? You know, there's probably just looking back in hindsight, God maybe, you know, has something to share through you for that thought.
Yeah, I believe that it's because that's just the way it is with the world. You know, everybody's, you know, there. I believe in God. I believe in God, and it's just word spoken. You know, just like any other kind of words might be spoken. It's, I forgive you, or I'll pray for you. But do you really know what that word means? Mm. You know, is it? You know, it's just maybe just a word. You know, but so you got to have that meaning and that truth with that word, and actually what it means, and feel that within your heart. You know, to me, it's all about the heart. So that's what I believe. It's just within the world, just a word that's spoken. And you know, for me, as like I did believe in God. You know, and the best I can say, and just like the outside world, they say, I believe in God, but do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you know the word? Is it cemented into your heart and your mind and moving and acting upon that word and living in that truth? I think that is, you know, the one thing that the Lord, just he longs to have that relationship with us. And in the end, that's what really matters. And to have that relationship with the Lord, you need to know his character. And to know his character, you need to go to the Bible, where that word is, that is alive and active in the living spirit, you know, that I believe. So it really changed things like 180 degrees.
I'm telling you, you've actually said something that I've often thought about. You know, a lot of times we do say words. I think in this world we're conditioned to say these really clever phrases, but yet we're not really certain of what they really mean. So like you said, they're just words spoken, but there's no conviction behind it. It's just, you know, like you said, right. Have a great day. But do you really want the person to have a great day? Or, you know, like when someone says, God bless you, but then you find out they're an atheist, you just kind of like, wait a minute, isn't that a contrast, you know? So it's really, I think
all
you
about
bring
meanings, that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, pardon me.
No, go right ahead.
I was just saying it's all about the heartfelt meaning behind the words that you're bringing forward to somebody, you know, for me. Just like that in forgiveness, you know, it's about the heart of forgiveness, you know, not just, I mean, it is also a command to forgive, but you forgive because the way Christ has forgiven us, you know, that the way Christ has come into your heart, you know, so that's the difference behind that.
I love that. I think you're really, for me, drawing a connection between words and the heart level, the spiritual formation. You know, a lot of times we get up and we do these cookie cutter things, but I think, what is our heart feeling? What is the motive behind it? We already know when Christ came, you know, really getting people on a heart level. He wanted to change the heart of man because we know, I mean, the world we live in, talk is cheap, really, right? It's like we can all say the same things, but are the actions lining up with those words? Do we have good and positive intention behind it? Go ahead. You can elaborate.
The word. Are they living, you know, are they walking in love? Are they walking in truth? Are they speaking in love? Are their words matching their walk?
I love that. I hope out there you're listening to what Dawn just now said, because there's someone out there listening today that, you know what, you're having difficulty getting your words to match up with your walk. you're having difficulty. In the Bible, it says something, your yes should mean yes and your no should mean no. And someone out there, you know, I believe Dawn's speaking to them, that you're having this difficulty to let it come together, that, you know, that there should be a blending there, that you should be able to say something, and the person that you're saying it to, they should be able to rely on that. Your word means something. And I hope you're hearing that today in this beginning portion of Dawn's testimony. Dawn, with that being said, so many, they're looking to find where they belong. You know, as we're trying to just discover who we are as men and women, and we're trying as children, and, you know, you get into different situations, you're just trying to figure out where you belong. And many of us, I know I did, I struggled emotionally. And like you, they didn't understand their feelings or being vulnerable. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Explain, you know, about, you know, feeling uncloaked, feeling vulnerable, feeling, you know, like just maybe not safe. And what encouragement would you give someone today that's feeling that way, just kind of walking around feeling exposed and not really knowing what to do with that?
Yeah, you know, I believe that it's a very, very, you know, because being vulnerable is a very uncomfortable place to be, but it's really going to somebody that you trust, you know, coming out of that comfort zone and that fear and that vulnerability, because that vulnerability just keeps you locked and tied in and isolated, really, within your own thoughts, your own fears, and it keeps you captive within your truly can come to somebody that you trust, whoever it may be, you know, just reach out to somebody. Take that courage given from God or find it within yourself if you don't have God at that moment. Can just reach out, and God will take over with that, because it's really coming out of that comfort zone where you're really expressing your emotions. It's really where you're going to start finding the healing, and without doing that, then the healing will stay stuffed in and not come out. So you have to express your emotions to somebody, whether it be a stranger, a trusted friend, a Christian counselor, anybody, you know, a pastor, anybody that you feel led at that time, come out. We cannot keep them in. And I know I've been there, you know, like I said, and I can understand that. You know, it's very fearful, you know, and it's a threat to your emotional well-being. So
I love that. I love that because, you know, it's very difficult to even decipher our own emotions, let alone express them to people. And, you know, I know, you know, many times, especially in the world we live in, people just, they're not very good at expressing themselves. They're not very good at communicating. And as we know, Christ is the best communicator. He knew how to talk with people. He knew how to bring information to the ear of the listener. He knew how to talk with someone that was wealthy, and he knew how to talk with someone that was poor. He knew how to talk with someone that had ailments and illnesses, and he knew how to talk with someone that's healthy. He understood how to communicate. And I really think for many of us to really look towards the Word to see Christ as a template of how to communicate, but it is difficult. I hope you heard some of those instructions. Dawn said, go to a stranger. Sometimes strangers can, you know, especially if the Lord working through them, the Lord can really lay something on you that could help you tremendously. Go to a Christian counselor. Go to someone that's lining you back up with the source, which is God. Go to a pastor.
Yeah.
go to a trusted friend, you know. And with that being said, Dawn, talk to us about godly influence. Because now, you know, it's one thing not being a believer, but when you decide to give your life over to the Lord, it's so important to surround yourself with like-minded individuals so that you can continue moving in the posture, the heart posture, I should say, of what, you know, the Lord has laid for your future. Talk to us about like-minded individuals once you've committed your life to the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely, because you can get sucked back in. So we need to go to others that are like-minded, others that may even be stronger women of God who stand strong, who stand with you, who pray with you, who support you, who love you right where you are at, just the way that God loves us right where we are at. And so we need that counsel, that godly counsel of others. We need that wise advice of others, you know, because we can't do it alone. Even though, I mean, I know that we are not alone because God never leaves us, nor God never forsakes us, you know, and that's a blessing right there, that God is always with us. He goes with us wherever we go, you know. He tells us, you know, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because I am with you. And he commands us even to not be afraid. You know, I mean, the Bible speaks about that. You know, do only fear God, do not fear others, and only fear God, but I am with you. So, I mean, part of that, to me, the way God speaks to me, is we, even though we're not alone on this earth while we are here temporary, we need others to band with us, to link arms with us, to pray for us, just to give us, to build us up, to lift us, encourage us. As the Bible says, encourage one another, not just occasionally, you know, encourage one another every day, you know, to keep them moving forward with God, to keep them connected with God, to build a cord that is stronger, that links them to God. Because you have on the other side, you know, the enemy working around circles, whatever way it may be, with as many adversaries or putting thoughts in your head and trying to pull you away. So we need those others to pull us towards God, you know, to connect us to the one true source, to plug into that source, you know, of God and the truth that is within him, to stand on that truth, to stand on his promises, you know, and to walk in his ways, in his thoughts that truly aren't of the world. So, you know, and that is the way I feel about it. You know, so sometimes that can be hard because, you know, like I said, the enemy wants to pull us back, but we have others that we link arms with, you see, to make that cord stronger, you know, because one by themselves is easily attacked, but with two or even three or more, it's very difficult to break that cord.
Oh, I love that. I, as you were speaking, Dawn, of course, I was reminded of John 15:4 once again. And even as I, you know, prayed over this show and just your testimony today, for those of you out there, John 15:4, the Gospel of John, it says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit apart from the vine, and neither can you bear fruit apart from me. I hope that as you were listening to Dawn express her feelings, you are not alone. She said, you're not alone. And in that regard, don't feel like you have to do it alone. Remember that as we go into this short commercial break. We'll be right back with this tremendous woman of God, Dawn Mann. Please make sure you reach out to her on social media. She's just a wonderful woman of God who has endured many struggles, but has and is overcoming many strongholds too. We are unpacking her testimony today here on Dovetails. So stick around with us. We're enjoying her company. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of PDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back, and it is a rainy, sunny Sunday afternoon, at least here in Pennsylvania. It is such a wonderful, wonderful show today. We have this wonderful woman of God, Dawn Mann. She's been sharing her testimony with us and just expressing to us why it's so important to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and growing up believing in God, but just kind of struggled with just making him a part of her life. I know many of us listening today, we can relate to that, you know, we have this inner conflict inside of us and one thing we believe, but yet trying to build up our confidence to walk in the way that we believe. And that's what Dawn's really been sharing with us today. Dawn, I want to talk about a little bit about the insecure feelings that you had. And I know that we touched upon that prior to the break. But what I wanted to go into was, you said you stayed bottled up and inside yourself, you had hidden feelings that were afraid to come out. And then the other portion of your testimony, you stated, my father was strict and I feared him. And at the time, you had no reconciliation about it. Do you think, or my question would be, in light of that, do you think the fear that you had with your father, maybe the that relationship that was sort of broken, did it influence the friends that you had and the relationships that you had?
Well, I think so, because, see, now at that time, I really spend a lot of time alone. So, you know, and then with the friends that I did have, you know, I wasn't, you know, real comfortable expressing my emotions. I didn't deal well with conflict. So it took me a while to trust. So I did much better with one-on-one relationships, but I also kept to myself, you know, quite often. And like I think I shared with you too, you know, just kind of just memorizing verses of poems and songs that I just felt lingering in my soul, because it was comfort to me. My father, he was a good father. He's a good provider, and now we're at a time, and I love my father so much, and we have a wonderful relationship. Just at the time when I was younger, and it was kind of, you know, passed from what he learned, and they were extremely young parents. They were only 18 at that time when they got married, and they're still married to this day. And,
oh, great.
So, you know, they went through, the hurdles and up and downs with, you know, marriage, but they did stay faithful with that, through that. And like I said, you know, he's been there for me, just amazing, especially, you know, these last times. And our relationship has grown. It has healed. He's grown. I've grown, you know. So, and now I express everything. And like I said, that he's helped me, both my parents, you know, especially during this difficult time in my life, and been there for ways that nobody else has, you know, except for God himself, you know, and others, you know, but very blessed by my parents. But, you know, at the time I was confused. I was a confused child. I did not deal well with conflict. I turned the other way. Sometimes I just withdraw, or sometimes I would put up a defensive, you know. At times I would have, actually, I was a very shy child. But there were other times where, you know, depending on the people or the situations, my defense would go up and I could, you know, appear as tough as nails to protect myself, you know, where a wall was built up, where now the wall is tore down, you know, and I let other people in, because I trust people, you know, as God leads me to trust and to open up and, you know, to them. So, you know, it's my, that fear really, started with, you know, I was insecure and shy and really kind of just afraid of my own self, you know, afraid of my own skin. I was. That's just who I was as a child. You know, God's really transforming just even doing this, you know. I mean, even at the beginning of my relationship with the Lord, I didn't even, you know, speak. And I will only speak if God tells me to speak. You know, sometimes it's better, even when we're with somebody, it's better just to listen to them and lend a ear and not even speak. But just listen, you know, and let really the Holy Spirit convict you through the heart to speak. You know, other than that, you know, sometimes it's just best to be quiet. So, but with that, it just, you know, so I dealt with, like in my past, I was very, I had, you know, I'd get anxiety and panic disorders. And one of the first verses that really cemented into my heart was, you know, don't worry about anything. Instead, just pray about everything and tell God what you need, and then thank him for all he has done. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So, I mean, the Bible tells us, you know, to pray about everything. Not, again, is it a command, but again, it's because you want to, you know, keeping that connection, keeping your focus on God, and constantly, he's always available. you know, God never slumbers, right? You know, that connection is always open to him, and he hears our prayers, you know, and he's faithful if it is according, you know, to his will. So, you know, we pray these big, big prayers. You know, of course, we pray about everything, little and big. But, you know, we also need to not fear and pray these big prayers of God will be done. You know, and let me walk in your way no matter what. Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I take up, you know, my cross and I follow you. You know, not loving my life for the sake of you, you know. And I keep saying, you know, I just realized that. So, but anyhow, I just sound like I kept saying, you know. So I'm trying to stop that. But
no,
anyway,
it's okay.
Somebody goes so, or you know, or so. but anyhow, so that's, you know, and he tells me, you know, as scripture even says, you know, to pray about everything, you know, and you know, to let your mind, the renewal of your mind be conformed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you will know God's will, you know, to walk mm-hmm. into that, you know, mm-hmm. because that's huge, you know, because you need that renewal of your mind.
Absolutely.
And through that renewal of your mind, it's going to be an access to your heart, for your heart.
Absolutely.
You know,
I want to piggyback a little teeny bit, because you said something that was so great, and I want, like, people out there listening, mm-hmm. you know, yes, your parents were strict, but sometimes parents are strict because they're really trying to protect the children. I mean, I'm not saying that's always the reasoning, but that is a reason. And that sometimes some of you out there, you're listening, maybe your parents are strict right now, and yet you're confused. So what happens is you're a kid that's maybe an introvert. Maybe you're someone that's really shy, just like what Dawn is saying. And as she said, she was a confused child, but sometimes she could come up and come out of it and be as tough as nails. I think what I want, you know, for others to hear today is that it's how we cope with these feelings. And I think, you know, Dawn said something so profound. She was afraid of her own self. She was afraid of her own skin. And I think, you know, when we're afraid like that, when we feel unsafe like that, there's coping mechanisms that we adopt. We all do it, whether that's consciously or subconsciously. And so, Dawn, I wanted to go into... To calm your social anxieties, you started to sneak drinks when you were, in high school. Let's talk a little bit about that, since we're sort of almost coming to the end of our show.
I know. We didn't even really get into that, you know, to the meat of the story. So I will try to get right, you know, a little bit here. You know, it's sneaking a drink, and it's like, whoa, you know, that just calmed that social anxiety that I had. And it, you know, it felt momentarily good. You know, and I liked it, but it was just, you know, that start. So through that, the drinking, it was a coping mechanism, absolutely. You know, I used it as a coping mechanism because I could not deal with, you know, painful feelings. And every time a painful feeling came on, you know, I felt it so hard, and the more that I was out in the world, the more of the painful feelings came on, and the more the only way that I knew how to cope was I used that alcohol, you know, to take that sting away, to take that, to feel that momentary relax, you know, and that led. Where I just coped. I don't know what else more to say about that. So, it led to worse because in my teenage years, you know, we have these boyfriends, right? And you know, and so that also, you know, I kept bottled up. You know, I didn't even identify with it at the time because I just thought this was the way that the world was, you know, but now I identify, you know, with, you know, starting out as a teenager, you know, having a boy, you know, force himself, you know, against your will and holding you, you know, and attempting, you know, that rape in the eyes of the world. But in the eyes of God, it is rape, you know. And at that time, until I became to know the Lord and all the tools that he brought forth, I didn't identify with that, you know. So that started that, manifested more of that fear of men, you know. And then I just kept getting pulled more, you know, to then, I don't know, I just, every time I was around a man, I felt uncomfortable, like I was still a child, you know, following along, you know, trapped inside an adult body, you know.
Wow.
And I just, because I was still a child. I was that broken child that through the experience with men and not being able to deal with conflict, and then going, you know, and dealing with the effects, the effects that led on from, you know, coping mechanisms of going to the bottle. And I'm not saying that I was a drinker that was this everyday drinker, or, you know, I mean, there was times, of course, when I absolutely when I abused it, but I used it as a coping mechanism. But, you know, there were also other times, you know, as in the world, you know, where alcohol is used to celebrate too, right? And so, I mean, it's a thing where not only people use it as pain or to celebrate or whatever. I mean, it's widely used. Wherever you go, you're going to find more places with alcohol than not with alcohol out in the world. You know, to weddings, receptions, restaurants. Where I live, there's a bar at every, you know, corner on the street. It's just a family event. It's just reunions, graduation parties. You know, we could go on and on and on. So the temptation is always there. But here's one thing too, that God took that temptation also away from me. That is, as soon as I became to know the Lord, that desire, you know, went away, because then I went to him. You know, I wasn't able to fulfill. I tried to fulfill in other ways, but and I never got that satisfaction. You know, where sometimes people, they get that feeling from whatever alcohol or drugs, and they feel satisfied with it. But I never did. You know, I was always searching for that feeling until the Lord came upon my life. Then I was filled by him. But, you know, and through that, yeah, I don't know how much time we got, because we didn't really get into the meat of it. But, you know, and it started out, you know, as a teenager, with a boy, you know, and never feeling safe. So, and then, and like I said, being in trapped in a child's body, I mean, I'm sorry, being trapped in an adult body, feeling like a child, and then just keep getting pulled further into that dark world, and it just became darker, with the only world that I knew how to live, you know. And
I think, Dawn, you've expressed yourself beautifully. I think that you've really given us an idea of, you know, how many different ways any of us can cope with any problem that we might have in our life. You know, it doesn't have to be alcohol. It could be sex addiction. It could be anorexia. It could be, you know, like not being able to deal with confrontation. You are so not alone in that. I mean, there's millions of people that cannot deal with confrontation. And I'm telling you, I love this phrase that you're saying, because I feel like it really gives an illustration that you feel like a child trapped in an adult body. Like, so the way I interpret that is you are expected to act like an adult. You're expected to respond to things like an adult would respond, or what the world would, you know, the responsibilities that an adult has in this world. And yet inside you feel like a child that still needs to be protected and loved and all these things. You know, I want to take this moment for anyone out there that's listening. You know, I want to just for a brief moment, because I want to ask another question to Dawn before we close, is to just talk about sin for a moment. And those of you out there that might not really understand, like, what does all that mean, you know, biblically and theologically, but anything that that actually distance you from God. You know, you heard Dawn talk about God being the source, Christ being the source. And when you distance yourself from God, you have to find a way to fulfill, you know, those things inside of you that are incomplete. Many of us are walking around today, we don't feel love, but we were designed, we were created to be filled up with God's love, not just going out there and going on a date and thinking that's going to fulfill you. You were designed to strive for a purpose. You were designed to play this role within how God's tapestry is going to be fulfilled, his providence. And so when sin entered into the world, it distanced you from God, right? And you know what? Not only did it distance you from God, it distanced you from yourself. If we really think back in the Garden of Eden, Adam started to lie. Right? He actually felt like it was something wrong with being pure and naked, right? You know, being vulnerable, right? The very things that Dawn was talking about from the beginning of her testimony. This is what sin has done, as it's entangled itself from generation to generation in humanity. So when you find, maybe none of that what I said means anything to you, but when you find that you are scared of even who you are, and you find that you're uncomfortable even with yourself, and what happens is you go outside of yourself, as Dawn and many of us do, to cope. And so in that regard, this is where her testimony picks up. Dawn, I wanted to talk just, you know, real briefly again about...
I feel like I know, just gotten started, Deborah, you know, so go ahead. Absolutely go.
No, I just I want you to just talk about, you realize the gift of salvation. I want you to just share, you know, some of us have a gradual gift of salvation, you know, where it just leads up to something. And some of us have like a moment in life where we're like, mine was April 26, 2006. I know the day that it happened, but share with us just, you know, you're just the gift of it for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, it was, you know, and like when God, and it was kind of like, it came, but then, and then a seed was planted. I'm trying to think how to really get started with that. So it was like a seed was planted. And it was really, okay, here you go. I got pulled over.
I know. How do you wrap,
right?
Up, Sophie?
We have two minutes. DUI. Okay, wow. DUI, pulled over. And God, you know, and I felt very desperate, lonely, hopeless, you know, through this world that was led to a destruction. And then God came by, and I cried out to God. Help me, Lord, you know, because I wanted to run. I didn't know what I was going to do. And that's when God came in, you know, and what was meant to destroy, he lifted me up. And God came in and planted that seed, you know, and God heard my cries, you know, and reaching out to a stranger, you know, and then the rest is history. And many seeds were planted along the way. And I really wish we had more time than we did, because I feel that we didn't even really get right down into it. But the bottom line is God, you know, done a deep healing, you know, and it's by the willingness to keep open and allow him to go as deep as he wants. Allow him to go, take his hand and just pull it all out, and he will do that healing. But you need to receive from him, and you need to go to that cross and lay it down at the cross and keep running to God and pressing into Him and clinging to Him and just surrendering it all to Him. So there's much more, you know, I feel I could say, but I know we are running out of time, and this did go very fast.
Sure. I warned you.
I was told about celebrate recovery through that, and that seed that was planted, and that was really planted in the dark, you know, and it grew, and it is growing, and it is flourishing through all that good soil that is mixed in with that is rich, and what does it take to have good soil, right? You need that sticky stuff, you know, and you need that mixed in, but that is, and we don't like it, and it stinks, but that is what is necessary to grow in good soil.
Mm, I love that. I mean, what a perfect thing to end the show on. Well, I should say this, Dawn, I'm going to have you on the show again, because you're right. We didn't really get into the nooks and crannies of your testimony. And I said in the beginning of the show, you have a large testimony, and there's some things that we really wanted to unpack. But I needed our listeners to hear where you came from. And I think that, you know, that richness, that layers of where your beginning life was really important. So when we go into this second show, we can pick up where we left off. I want to talk about your writing. I want to talk about the ministry that the Lord has laid on your heart. So there's more to be said. There's absolutely
so
more to be said.
Yeah.
Well, ladies.
Oh, wow. You're amazing. And I'm so thankful for you, Deborah. This was great. You know, I got a little bit, you know, scared, to be honest. You know, and I just kept praying about it and seeking out, you know, others to pray, and that just really brings together, you know, it lifts up the spirit, you know, together. So I am so thankful all of it.
Well, you've been an amazing blessing for us and for our listeners, and I just want to thank you formally for being on Dovetails, and like I said, we're going to have you on again, and please, everyone, reach out to Dawn Mann on social media. Just a woman that the Lord is going to do amazing things with. I'd like to end this show with just reading a blurb from a book that I've read, one of my favorite books called Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth, and it's by Richard J. Foster. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. The closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need and the more we desire to be conformed. Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of spiritual life. It is original research in unexplored territory. Meditation introduces us to the inner life. Fasting is an accompanying means, but it is the discipline of prayer itself that brings us into the deepest and highest work of the human spirit. Real prayer is life-creating and life-changing. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. Until next time, please keep sharing your Dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in, and to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.